from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
All right, it's another week of Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we're trying to figure out guests for the future. You know, we're missing Colin. We got to find a third.
He's gone.
He's gone.
He's like, gone for good, huh?
See, here's the thing. Last week he promises, you know, guys, I'm going to have to leave. I got this whole school thing going on.
Yeah, I thought he was going to come this time, but then not over.
Well, that's the thing. He promised he would be here this week. No, I'll be here next week, he said last week. But that's the last one. And I don't like to, you know, I don't accept guarantees because they don't turn out to be guarantees.
And you don't enjoy teases either.
Exactly. And he is not here. Gone. So gone forever, maybe.
Much less rooster tease.
Yeah, he'll probably continue to be part of Golgatron, but the time constraints of the live radio program are just too stressful for his life.
They are
as
stressful.
A college student with no responsibilities.
Only few people can step up to the plate.
Exactly.
Of being at a certain place at a certain time.
But I've got an idea in my head for a potential third to our family. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens.
I'm excited.
You and I have stuck around for a long time.
It's been a while, man.
Yeah.
I
2006, I think?
Yeah, probably.
Man.
I'm surprised not only at how long it's been and how quickly the time has passed, right, which is, I guess, normal when you get older.
Yeah.
But also surprised at how much I sucked at the beginning.
Did you go back and listen to old ones?
And, well, no, and I won't.
Neither do I.
But I remember. I remember
bad
what it was
idea.
Like. And that was bad times.
Yeah, well.
But now, after 4 years, it's good times.
We're getting better. And I got to remind people, because I tried to put up a couple of articles on Golgatron this past week. You know, we've been doing this whole, like, new media radio show thing. Since before podcasting was even around, we got the radio show, and there's this newer thing. I think the websites, people are able to put articles in print up on something they call the internet, and so.
But it's not really printed; it's actually just on your
well,
on your screen.
It's electrons or something. It's pseudo something printing. Anyway, we are now venturing into this crazy new technology called websites, and. And we've got that. We're part of the Golgatron. It's a big thing. We're also going to try to go to PAX this year and do the Treasure Box show again. That's coming up very, very soon. Unfortunately, we got we were advised that we're going to be part of PAX like way late in the game, and we have like no prizes to give away for the Treasure Box. And I'm
Yes, time to round up prizes.
Yeah, I'm getting really nervous about it actually. So if anybody out there represents a game developer or something or a marketing company, let me know and. You know, email me, Alon at chatterboxgameshow.com, because we need prizes for PAX to give away at our game show event, which is always really big, but can't really be done without the sponsorship. So, anyway, we've, like, last week and a half, we've been running around, oh my God, we're going to be at PAX. We got to get this figured out.
So when is it? Like, in 2 weeks or something? What's the
like, 3 weeks? Like, September
really?
4th,
3 weeks.
5th or something? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that would be just about 3 weeks, huh?
Very, very little time. And then I went to jury duty today, and
fantastic.
I don't know yet whether or not I'm going to serve, and if I do, court would, you know, it would be over a very long period of time.
That's
as much as I can say about it.
I've got a wonderful jury duty story that has nothing to do with video games, but is nevertheless highly entertaining.
I've got my own, but yes, please tell.
Apparently there's a story out there where someone on a jury apparently stole the credit card of another juror.
That's nice.
During a trial about robbery.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
welcome to America.
So my new wonderful wife actually recently told me that I guess social media is making an impact on trials these days. And one defendant, like murder trial defendant or something, went and friended someone on Facebook. Like he was, you know, hadn't been found guilty yet, so he was out of jail on bail. And during that time, he friended one of the jurors.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. He friended the juror.
Bad news.
And
I assume the juror accepted. Oh, this is the person whose fate I'm judging.
I don't know
I'll be his
what
friend.
The juror did with it, but it got the whole case got thrown out of court. You're probably not supposed to mingle with the jurors.
Probably not.
Right. But then I think to myself, you want to get something thrown out of court?
Right.
You just let someone have access to your Facebook account.
There you go. If you want to go kill someone and get off or at least delay your inevitable fate, that's
yeah.
right. Hey, use Facebook.
Exactly.
That's great.
That's the information age. So
fantastic.
All right. Games. That's what we talk about here. You showed me this article here. We're going to save this for a little bit later in the show?
Yeah, let's save it for a little bit.
Okay. Colin's not here, so we're not going to be able to do the wonderful Street Fighter enactment that we've
I'm
been
so sad.
Promising.
It's just
promising forever.
For weeks and weeks. This has been, like, planning.
I think we should turn it into a video for the Golgatron site.
It should be turned into something because it's just a shame.
Right.
It's
okay.
just a shame that we haven't even
So
done.
What do we have on the roster for today?
Well, we've got a nice backlog of stories, so...
You know, a lot of stuff has been happening lately as well.
That's true, although I didn't see a lot of really interesting news this week, honestly. But you know what? I want to tell you something about this Castlevania Online game.
Castlevania Harmony of Despair?
Right.
Which I talked about that last week, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You did. And I actually finally played the demo for myself. Right.
You know, I have the full game.
You have the full game. So yeah. You did not get exposed to the demo first.
That's true.
And I have to explain something very important here, okay? I don't know why this keeps happening, right? But apparently it does. Whoever makes the decision about what content goes into a demo...
Is it not just the first level?
Let me just put it this way. The set of parameters that you play under for the demo of this game...
Oh, yeah, you can't start with just the new weapons.
Is probably the worst combination of items that you could start out with for a demo.
Does it give you a character with a giant battle axe that's really slow to attack?
No, but almost as bad. Now, here's what they do. They give you Alucard.
Really?
Right?
Okay.
Okay. And they equip you with the Alucard sword. Not the Alucard sword, the Alucard sword. And the Alucard sword, spelled with a T, is... a weapon from Symphony of the Night, which is a crappy sword that it's like the decorative version of the real sword, so to speak, right? So basically, when you swing it and you're sitting on the ground, you're not allowed to move until it's finished its animation, which is like 3 seconds long. It's actually not that long, but it feels really long.
That may very well be the weapon he starts with, because that's what I didn't like about Alucard, that he was really slow to attack.
Right, and it probably is, right? But this is terrible, because I've watched people play the demo for the first time, and their entire opinion of the product is based on the way that the character they get to play handles. And that's just, it's a terrible, terrible weapon to start out with. It's so bad. And it's just such a shame. I don't understand why they keep doing this over and over again.
They should have given you the guy with the whip. Of five characters, only one has a whip.
Give you something that's satisfying to play as right out of the gate. Give you something that's characteristic of the experience, not just the first thing. I'm very disappointed.
Then you might argue, I played the demo, you made it look good, and then I got the game, and it's crap because the guy has a slow weapon.
Well, there's that side of it too, right? But, I mean, honestly, if you're selling games, which side of the fence would you rather be on?
Well, yeah. My argument would be, why give him such a crappy weapon to begin with? You know, we don't want him to be overpowered is one argument, but like,
right.
I was really turned off by him. And
it's
then,
a crappy weapon.
Do you remember I told you everyone was using Alucard and it didn't make sense to me because I didn't like the weapon he starts with?
Yep.
Right. I didn't get it. Yeah. And actually that was one of the issues with like everybody attacks really slowly in that game. Yeah.
And there's another complaint that I have, which I was really surprised because I never expected to lodge this complaint against a developer like this. I really thought that they had their act together better. And I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Maybe you'll have an opinion about it. The way that the graphics are arranged in levels, a lot of times, it's really unclear what you can stand on and what is just more graphics under a platform. I'll see in places over and over in the game where there'll be like something like some horizontal edge that looks like a ledge. But then on top of that, there's more graphics, and it looks like there's another ledge on top of that. And then there's a box on top of that, and you look at it, right? And the one that sticks out the most, the one with the greatest contrast, is the one on the bottom. So you think, oh, maybe like that's the floor that if I jump into that area, I'm going to land on. But no, it's like some other of one of those several elements. And it's
I kind of hear what you're saying.
You know what I'm talking
but
about?
I think that no.
You don't care? Doesn't bother you?
That just didn't happen for me.
Didn't happen for you, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
But you're using a nice HDTV these days, so I can't blame it on some old crappy TV.
Yeah, but I mean, like, come on. Like, you're not, like, looking at it from, like, a Sony Watchman from 1980.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're using the new one, so it wouldn't be an issue with you just using a bad TV that's causing this confusion for you. And it's,
right.
Like, I can understand
right.
what you're saying yeah. because the backgrounds do have stuff in them.
It's sloppy. Let me tell you, that's some sloppy work.
But I just didn't come across that much.
Yeah. Well,
a little bit, but very little.
I'm probably harsher about it than most people would be because I'm just very, very cognizant of those types of things in games. But I think it's sloppy work.
So it's the first level that you play?
Yeah, it's the one with that that weirdo with like two legs and nothing else, and it shoots a beam across the level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to the bottom right of the level where there's these two like
mirrors?
Elevator things?
Yes, totally did that.
And did you figure out how to get the chest on the upper right?
Upper right, no. I got to the upper left side.
Yeah, upper left you can do.
Yeah, and then the right one, I just tried it twice, and I'm like, I can't do this, and I gave up.
You know how you got to do it? Don't kill the knights. The blue
what?
Knights
what?
That you... throw the axes at you.
Why?
Because what you do is you make the one on the left drop to the ground. You have the knight walk on it, and then...
Really? Okay, you know what? That sounds fair to me.
I never did it.
I thought you were going to say don't kill all of the knights, like that has some special like magical knight counter or
no,
something.
No, don't kill the knights in that area. You have to get them to walk on it, and then, yeah, I just watched the video of somebody do it, and I was
right.
like, really?
Okay. But, yeah, you know what?
Speaking, I should have figured that out, for
right,
one.
Exactly. Speaking of, we were talking about lateral thinking puzzles a few episodes ago. And
when I wasn't here?
Probably when you weren't here.
Okay.
And one of my main complaints is that the problem with those types of puzzles is they don't give you all of the information you need to find the solution. So you don't find the solution by any process of logic. You find it by making this bizarre connection in your head that which you may or may not ever make, right? That was my problem with Limbo, which we can talk more about later. But that is totally logical to me, right? Like, that makes sense to me. That sounds fair. I don't feel like I'm gypped knowing that.
Yeah, so here's the thing, though. I agree with you, and after I saw it, I was like, oh, that makes sense. However, that's the only time in that game, at least in that level, and I mean, a level is large in this game, that's the only time that you interact with an enemy in a way other than just attack, you know, parry,
gotcha.
Attack, whatever.
Yeah,
like
so
where the enemy actually does something for you.
Right, that's a little wonky.
Yeah, so and there was also no education or preparation for that sort of event or puzzle element, but that's part of it. Like it's one of the super secret things in the level. How do you
right,
get that?
Right.
But
now, do you get points for enemies in this game?
Yeah, at the end of the level,
to kill them?
At the end of the level, your
okay.
score is tallied up by kill points, item points, like how many things you've collected, and your time.
Gotcha.
Yeah, cool. And if you don't ever get hurt, you get an additional 10,000 points. That I never got, and wow, I can't believe the points that people got as soon as the game really got released.
We'll be back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And, of course, my name is Ara.
I'm Alon.
And, yeah, that's right. That's just the two of us tonight.
Colin is gone.
Mano a mano.
Might come back sometimes, like guest appearances, but not really here for the long haul. And, you know, I'm disappointed.
I can see the disappointment
I was
in your face.
I'm enjoying him being here.
I was too, frankly.
So if you want to call and sound off, 866-536-1100, tell us how much you hated him. Or if you want to bring back Rich. Rich has very strong feelings about Limbo, which is a game you just brought up, and I understand you guys talked about it while I was away.
Oh,
you and
I never thought I'd say this.
You and Colin.
But I wish I could talk to Rich about Limbo.
Yeah. Now, when I just said he had strong feelings, did I say if he liked it or disliked it?
No, you did not.
No. And notice, he has very strong feelings.
And notice how, regardless of the precise quality of those feelings, I am nevertheless still interested in the discussion.
Okay. So how far did you go into this with Colin? Can we rehash this a bit?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I think Colin played the whole thing. Now, I only played the demo. I only got to...
I played further than the demo.
I got to the spider, and...
That's the end of the demo, essentially.
Right, but I couldn't beat the spider, and that was
really?
The point. That was the point where I decided that it's not worth it for me to keep playing.
You could have beat the spider. Just give it another shot.
No, we discussed. We figured it out. He told me what it was, and I thought it was a really silly method of feeding back to the player. Because apparently my volume wasn't up loud enough for me to notice what was going on.
Oh yeah, I actually noticed it without even volume. But the volume does help.
That's interesting because, yeah, I didn't notice it at all. And I pretty much completely exhausted the space of what could happen there other than doing
Did you just one of those, like, walk back and forth and be like, there's no way to do this?
I walked back and forth probably about 18 times. And I also walked back and I also tried it with about 18 different types of timing around that guy's little pincers.
All right. So let's explain this to our audience. After a brief break, when I explain that you should go to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, our wonderful sponsor. So when you go up to the spider at the end, you don't see the whole spider, you just see some legs. Like, spoiler? Do we give spoiler alert? Do we care?
What?
Whatever. If you listen to the show, if you don't want to hear how to kill the spider, then fine. Stop listening for a minute. But so you see a bunch of legs. You don't see the whole spider. You just see the legs. And so you walk up to it, and the leg will give you a little dance and then attack you by shoving its needle point edge into your brain. Your little character dude in
limbo. Not your actual brain.
Well,
the character's brain.
Of course.
Because you wouldn't be able to play again if it did.
So
that.
You figure, how can I beat this guy? He's a giant spider leg. Well, of course, you have to get some sort of weapon. What you don't notice is that before you got to the spider, as you were walking towards the spider, there was a tree branch. And the trouble with this game is that all the graphics are composed of just, like, bits of black.
Right.
So there's, like, a tree,
but
or there's your character.
It's pretty obvious that there's, like, a bear trap in that tree branch.
Right, so you did see it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It was clear that was part of the solution. No question.
Oh, you just couldn't figure out how to get it?
Exactly.
Oh.
And I thought that was one of the most obtuse things I've ever seen in a game.
Oh, no, that hit me real fast.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so here's the
you're
thing.
You're a lot smarter than me.
So you walk up to the spider. So before you get to the spider, you see a tree limb, and there's a bear trap, which you've been conditioned to understand how the bear trap works at this point.
Right.
You've already used it a few times.
And even if you haven't or haven't even been struck
anyway.
By a bear trap in your life, you could probably figure out that this has something to do with solving this.
So there's a bear trap up in a tree. You go up to the spider, and the spider, like I said, does a little dance, and then he slams his leg down in the ground. Now, this spider, I should reiterate, very, very large. His leg takes up, half the screen. And he's got several of them.
You wouldn't be able to beat him up with your hands.
So not only that, he also lifts the leg up. It stalls for a minute. I'm shaking my hand in the air that you can't see on the radio.
It's creepy. It's creepy.
And then he slams it into the ground, and preferably, for the spider anyway, into your head. At which point blood and all things spurt out. So
I got it to do some funny things with that, actually, because I got it to actually hit the ground sometimes. And I was like just a pixel far enough away. So even though it hitting the ground stuns you, sometimes I could get it so I could get up again.
Oh, well, that's just part of the game.
Right.
There is a condition in that game where you end up laying on the ground and you can get back up.
Right.
I don't know exactly how to do it with a spider.
But normally, right, he'll hit the ground and then you'll get stunned by the nearby impact, not the direct impact. And then the other pincer comes and kills you.
Now, what I've seen is that if you walk up to the leg when it's stuck in the ground and then upon lifting the leg,
right.
The motion of the lifting leg hits you and knocks you on your ass. And you can get up fast enough to avoid the other one, but you got to be real fast.
Okay.
Usually you'll just get chomped on.
Yeah.
So anyway, point is, the leg slams into the ground, and what R is saying he didn't realize is that after it slammed down on the ground three times, that bear trap will have fallen out of the tree. And it's not just three times and then it falls. Like, each time it slams, the bear trap moves a little bit in the limb. You can actually see it in a different position on the limb than it was
before. Yeah, but here's the thing, is that it's not on your same screen. So
that's true. It's
so
off the screen.
You have to go back, notice that it moved, and then do it again.
But the thing is, I thought about that. I was like, slamming in the ground, do you think it moved? And I went back and I didn't remember.
Right.
Is that the same position it was? But I let him slam the ground again.
Right.
And then I heard, because I was using the sound, I heard the clanging of it on the ground. I said,
right.
Oh, that's what happened.
I have no
patience. And then I grabbed
whatsoever.
The bear trap and, you can have the leg slam into the bear trap and take care of the spider.
No patience.
Yeah. Well, you should be using all of your senses. I don't know what else to tell you.
I use them, but they should be doing a better job with communicating player feedback.
So Ara recently updated his home entertainment system with a very nice television. However,
it's so nice that
he's still in the dark ages when it comes to sound.
Look, it has speakers.
It does have speakers.
You are right that I'm in the dark ages when it comes to sound, because my only pair of speakers, my only pair of external speakers, have, let's see, 94, 95. I've had since 1996.
Okay, so since before I was in college.
And they're awesome speakers.
Ironically, many of our listeners are probably not even in college yet.
You know what Bose stands for?
I'm not going to guess.
Bring other sound equipment.
Oh, nice.
But it's still awesome.
So you do need to oomph up that sound a little bit.
It doesn't really stand for that.
So Limbo, Rich doesn't like Limbo. Not for the reason you just described. Not for the game design elements.
I also dislike it for other reasons, but I would love to hear about Rich's criticism.
I will relay to you his feelings. He says it's not a game. That it's, you just walk through, and you never know. You're going to hit this bear trap, or things will happen. You'll be thrust in a position where you had no way of knowing, and you're just dead. And so the whole game is waiting to see how you die, and only after the fact figuring out how to not die in some relatively trivial way, like jump over the bear trap.
Right. Now, listen to me. I know Rich's propensity for hyperbole, and I really hope that he doesn't actually mean that, because it's definitely a game. But I can see where you're going and where he's going with this.
Yeah. But my argument to him was that he plays games all the time for just the storyline. And if anyone wants to tell me that a turn-based role-playing game is a game in the way that he's describing Limbo is not, I will challenge you to that, because a role-playing game is all about grinding, and there's like no skill in a role-playing game.
You know what? For a lot of games, I wouldn't apply that categorically, but that is very true for a lot of games that are narrative heavy. And I think they do it on purpose because
they just want to give you the narrative.
Well, not only that, but I think there's a more precise reason. Think about it this way, right? The activity of you enjoying a narrative, right, versus you playing in an interactive space where you have a specific goal, right, which is not exactly the same as pure narrative. Those are two very different activities. And I find this in myself, and I think that most people are this way too. When I want ice cream, right, I don't want to be eating broccoli. And when I feel the need for broccoli, ice cream doesn't go together well with that. And it's the same thing with narrative and goal-based gameplay, like Street Fighter, right?
Yeah.
It's a very different activity. The most interesting thing is that a lot of times when you're playing a game for the narrative, I've experienced this myself. Tell me if you have too. I don't want to be challenged. In fact, the very existence of there being a challenge to my accomplishing something, especially in terms of dexterity, is a distraction from the expression of the storyline.
So I haven't experienced that. However, I don't mean to say that that's, you know, that I will approve of your statement. That's what I'm trying to say.
That's a first.
I don't like, it's just because I'm not, I've said a million times on the show that I don't play games for story.
Right.
And so a game that has story, I'm still looking for the gameplay parts.
Right.
Because that's my personal taste.
Sure. And I'm not saying that it's impossible to separate these things or to join them together. But, you know, maybe you just don't care. Maybe you can enjoy the challenging parts from the narrative parts. And
at the same time, I have to admit, like I told you before, I've been playing a lot of Puzzle Quest on the iPhone.
Yeah.
And it kept me playing a lot longer than I would have normally because it had that cheesy story in it, which just led to playing more of the puzzle game.
Yeah. So I like where we're going with this. We'll be back.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woo-hoo!
Back again on Ara's favorite topic, narrative versus gameplay.
Oh, yes.
We've definitely beaten this one. Yeah.
I love it so much.
Beaten it down in the past. But, you know, I guess we keep coming back to it because it's so common. Like, the duality or whatever that we have to deal with in games.
It's a really basic dichotomy. Now, you know, I've mentioned this before. There's this article that I wrote for Gamma Sutra a while back trying to explain to people what the essence of this problem is. And the problem is that basically the activity of narrative or experiencing a narrative is just categorically different from the activity of playing a game, strictly speaking.
Yeah, but so here's the thing. The way that they've been doing it for years is where you have these gates, right? So there'll be a narrative component, storyline component, where let's use Mario as an example,
sure.
Right? Because it's a basic game that everyone's familiar with.
Totally.
It's very light storyline. Princess gets stolen. You should go get the princess.
Yep.
And then it's broken down into subparts. You have to beat a guy every level for 8 levels.
Yep.
And you might get the princess there. Oh, or not. Wrong castle.
Right.
Better go to another one. Yeah. Right? So it doesn't matter.
Mario didn't have GPS.
Right?
Terrible luck searching castles.
In between the start of the level and the end of the world, not just the level, like,
right.
It doesn't really matter how you do it. Obviously, you got to play the first level before you play the second level. But it doesn't matter if you jump on each Goomba. It doesn't matter if you collect every coin. It doesn't matter if you... go into the clouds and get the extra coins, or if you don't, you just have to get to the end, at which point there'll be some amount of storyline, which is either, you know, you kill that Bowser character or you don't. We're talking about this first Super Mario Brothers here.
Right, right. And in that game, it's, I mean, the presence of narrative is really so cursory that it's just there to basically provide a context and a wrapper for what you're doing in the first place,
yeah.
Because...
But I use it as a basis for this argument. So, like, a Final Fantasy will be the same way. It's like, you've got to do X mission, right?
Sure.
I don't care if you use magic to kill this dragon, or if you use, you know, some item, or if you use this other thing, or who you use in your party to do it, but you have to accomplish some goal, or you have to take on a task. How you do it is irrelevant. Now,
right.
In a movie, strictly narrative, right, that's defined. It's going to do it however the director or writer or whatever did it.
Right. Interestingly, right, notice how in most games, the stuff that you do in between the narrative bits is like a task. It's go do this. Whereas in movies, it's much, much more broadly defined in terms of what's going on, right? It's not like...
What do you mean? Like between, it might be a conversation instead of an action?
Yeah, it might be between the key points of the movie, however that's defined, it's not like somebody does a task. You know, there could be all kinds of expression of things, right? Like a conversation, right? That doesn't make sense in a video game. You can't say, like, I'm going to go and...
Can you hear the little kiddies clamoring about Mass Effect and how Mass Effect is all about conversation? And...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, like, you know, we could get into that if you wanted to, but let's continue.
I mean, that in itself is still a task, right? Because you have to... You have to accomplish something with the conversation.
Right, right. You don't, I mean, you don't have agency in a film necessarily. You know, there could be a conversation between two characters that are not you. It's not you, right? Whereas in the game, you're doing something. You have a sense of agency. It completely changes the context.
Yeah. So, I don't even know how we got here. But
we should keep going. What were we talking about before we went on break?
Yeah, I don't know. But we can move on to your Prince of Persia article.
Yes.
We do this all the time. I guess Mike Newell, director of Prince of Persia movie, made a stink. I hadn't even heard about this, to be honest.
This is interesting.
This is from a week ago.
Yeah, so wanted to discuss it last week, but we ran out of time. But here's the interesting part. There's a story, right, where this Mike Newell guy, who's a movie director, is essentially parroting the kind of thing that Roger Ebert is so famous for saying. And, of course, everybody...
I didn't see them very similar, really.
What?
Keep going. I shouldn't cut you off.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, he's saying the same kind of thing where he's basically questioning the narrative value of games, right? Now, Roger Ebert is questioning the artistic value of games, right? So not exactly the same thing, but they're in a very similar vein.
Yeah.
And also in a similar way, I guess the stronger correspondence is with regards to the fact that pretty much every gamer that has posted on that thread is just jumping on him like, just the way everyone was jumping on Roger Ebert. And I think this guy has actually something more meaningful to say than what Roger Ebert said.
Yeah, so let me read what he did say.
There's a sentence there I highlighted, the second one.
Yeah, that's not a quote, though. This is a paraphrase.
Right.
So wherever this came from, Game Politics, they wrap it up by saying Newell's claim is that games can't convey human emotion like a film can.
Right, and the funny thing is he's right. I don't think that gamers know that. I don't even think he knows how he's right.
And the thing is, what gets gamers upset is that they don't understand that he's talking. I don't even know if he's thinking about this enough.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that he even understands the depth of his comments.
Right? Because to them, if you play a Prince of Persia the movie, the game,
right,
where they take a cut from the film and put it as a cutscene,
right,
in between levels, you show that human emotion directly from the movie. They're like, hey, look, it's in my game.
Right.
And they argue that, no, it's part of the game. And when we think about it as sort of a higher level academic discussion like we're doing now, sort of, is this academic?
Sure, let's say it's academic.
Our argument is that you can't use strict gameplay elements, or you would be very hard pressed to do so, to actually convey the sort of emotion that you would in a movie where it is outlined, you know, definitively.
Right. Here's the thing. Now, gamers have a propensity to attack anything that suggests that the game as a medium may be incapable or poor at expressing a certain type of expression. Now, having said that, right, to that end, I like to say often that you can regard a game as the product as kind of like a container for all other media. In that sense, I mean that, for example, a game product like the one you buy at the store could contain only a movie.
Yeah.
Right? Just put in a compressed movie, have it play in the beginning, it's essentially a DVD. In that sense, it's like a container for all other media, more or less.
Yeah. But
here's the thing. That's not the comparison we're making, right? We're using game in a different sense. We're talking, when I use the word game, right, and I'm distinguishing that from game product, I mean, like, a interactive game like chess. Chess is a game, right? Now, something like Hotel Dusk is a game product, but it's not really a game because it doesn't have the qualities that make games uniquely what they are, right? So, for example, again, right, like Street Fighter is a great example of a prototypical game because there isn't really a substantial narrative aspect to speak of. I mean, they have that wrapper, like Super Mario Brothers has the wrapper, but come on, like nobody plays it for that. That's just a wrapper.
Yeah.
Especially if you're playing like one-on-one with a human, right? There's literally no narrative expressed to speak of, right? So
there's a little airplane that goes from country to country.
Yeah, well, there's
so you
that.
Know, you
and
know
it's
you're
funny.
In Brazil or China.
And it's hilarious. You know what the hilarious part of what you just said is?
What?
That there is one specific comment to my Gamma Sutra article that was attacking me using the example of, hey, there's the plane that's going from country to country. That's narrative. Why isn't that narrative?
Really? Someone commented that?
Yes. And actually, no, they use that as an example of part of the game, even though it's not part of the game. It's part of the narrative wrapper of the game. And the individual's argument was that, we're not going to show like Ken getting onto the plane and sitting down and ordering like an orange juice, you know, and talking to the stewardess. And we're not going to depict the entire flight, right? No, it's an abbreviated, you know, narrative element, right? But anyway.
Well, if you're gonna pick the stuff apart so much and claim we're talking about narrative elements in the game, then, I mean, of course a game can't do what the narrative does because you're gonna say if it did, well, that was the narrative part, not the game part.
Well, let me describe it to you this way, and I think it'll be a lot clearer. And this is with regards to, you know, what this Mike Newell guy said, right? So what he basically is saying is that games can't express emotions the way movies can. And he's right. He's right because the game activity, right, cannot express emotions the way a pure narrative piece of work can. It can express different emotions, and the ones that it can express that it can express some emotions that a narrative, strictly speaking, cannot, and vice versa. It's like oil and water. They're two different things that accomplish different goals that are good at different things. For example...
But I can't think of any way that you're right unless you're talking about dialogue.
Let me give you this example and then tell me how you feel. All right? So, for example, right? You cannot earn a sense of satisfaction of beating somebody from watching a movie. You can't get that sense. You can only get that sense from actually executing that in a game.
But now I would also argue with you that a lot of people will relate to the protagonist.
You can, but it's different. It's different. It's the difference between driving the car and being in the car.
I understand that. Okay. Well, we got one more thing, maybe two more things to talk about before the end of the show. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio.
Sponsored by your favorite University of Advancing Technology. Go to uat.edu to learn more about everything that they do.
Now, if you'd like to call in, our number, of course, is 866-536-1100. You've got maybe about 10, 15 minutes left.
So we want to talk about this article I've got in front of me, but I also want to mention something else first. Like I said earlier, we've got the Golgatron.com website that I work on with some other people, and Ari's written stuff for it, and I write stuff for it. I put up this is just anecdotal, right? It's funny. I didn't go to E3 this year because, I was getting married or something. And so...
Little distraction.
Yeah, a little bit. So I did that. And then last week, I got, like a press release. It wasn't a press release. It was just, hey, there's this video, a new video for Def Jam Rapstar that we're trying to get around. So here you go. Here it is. Right. So I download the video and watch it. And I felt like it didn't tell me that much about Def Jam Rapstar. But I went to go look at their YouTube channel.
Did it tell you a lot about booty shaking?
No. Actually, let me back up a second. I told the guys at Golgatron, hey, actually, I got this new video for Def Jam Rapstar. I should probably write an article about this just because, I don't know, I don't write about rapping that often. It would be funny. But I don't know, what angle I'm going to take. So I watched the video. I realized I still don't know much about this game. So I find it on YouTube, which saves me from having to encode it myself. And I find other videos related to it, to the game, and there's even less context of the game in there. There are these videos that are simply, just people rapping on the street. That's the whole thing. And then there's the closeout graphic with the logo, Def Jam Rapstar, right? Which, as a marketing attempt, it might not be so bad. We just want to get people interested in rapping. And if we throw Def Jam Rapstar at the end, maybe while you're in the mood to rap, right, you'll think about this game and want to get it. So
right, and never actually show the hint that there might be graphics or anything,
yeah,
because that'll turn people off away.
So I'm not trying to yell that it's a horrible advertisement, because maybe it does what it's trying to do, maybe a little bit successfully. But as a gamer, I want to see what the actual game is
What the funny? But me and Colin just had this conversation.
Did you?
On one of the shows you were in here.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway. I didn't get anything from it.
Not about that product, but just the whole idea. What was it? StarCraft 2. Yeah,
okay.
The ad for StarCraft 2, you'd think it was like Avatar the sequel or something.
Nice.
Based on the ad.
All right, so I write this article, and I call it Def Jam Rapstar, Homie Don't Know How to Play That. And I just put the article together, and I make, funny, maybe not so funny, racist-like comments.
Did you get in trouble?
No, but Belial... who also works on the site, he commented on the article. And I love this whole comment thing, because it shows that people either care or don't care about what you wrote. Usually people don't care about what I write. So Belial...
But they care enough to comment.
This one actually has quite a few comments. Belial put up a comment, which was not a comment at all. It was just a bunch of screen captures that he had edited. So it's screen captures from the video, actual screen captures. But when I say edited, he added arrows. So there's one screen capture with a big red arrow pointing to a dude's head, and it says Belial because he's in the video. And then there's Corey. And then there's Josh. And then there's somebody else. And everybody from Golgatron is in the video that I posted. I had no idea because I wasn't at E3. And they flashed the crowds of people so quickly that there's no way in hell I would have seen them. But they were there in this video, this marketing video. I had no idea. And the best part is at the end, he had one screen capture with a bunch of girls. And on their forehead, he just wrote, yes, 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 no, yes, yes.
Nice.
Which I thought was very funny.
Excellent work.
That was great. I posted, and I had no idea that I was posting on the side of the people who were in it. And, always, and if I had gone to E3, I would have been in there too.
It's always pleasant to receive comments that don't take the form of text, because then you know, then they know they care just that little extra much to put forth.
You have to break out MS Paint.
The extra effort, yes.
All right, well, getting back to actual news that is likely... Oh, this one's not old at all.
Not old at all, yes. We're very timely here, except when we don't want
to. Okay, so summarize this one for me.
All right, well...
First, I want to preface, by the way. Our sponsor, UAT.
Yeah.
I went there. Yeah. Valuable school. Yeah. We've talked before.
Not like this.
We've talked before on the radio show how school is what you make of it, and right. I'm not going to take the point that I agree with the woman
that we're about to
in this article.
About. And...
It's and possible. I'm not saying that just to save my ass, although I am saying it a little bit to save my ass with our sponsor.
You always want to save a little ass.
School is what you make of it. But summarize this for me.
All right. Well, there's a story out there where I don't even know why this is getting publicized. I bet you this has happened probably like 5 or 6 times or 30 times in the United States anyway.
I bet this is the one and only time it involves a stripper.
I don't. I bet that you doesn't. But... Here's the story. Story is, girl is interested in making video games. Her gender's not really that relevant. Doesn't matter.
But admittedly well represented
yes. So
in this field.
She goes to one of these for-profit vocational schools. It's like, we'll say what it is. It's Art Institute, right?
Yes. Well, it is mentioned in the article.
Okay,
GamePolitics.com.
Art Institute. She's down in Florida. She's like, I want to be a game designer, I want to make games, or something like that. So she goes to school to make games. She ends up paying over $70,000 in tuition, okay?
Which isn't that crazy if you're talking about like 4 years.
That's a lot, though.
Or 3 years or whatever.
That's a lot, though. But
yeah. I've heard that tuition can approach that much for a single year.
That's pretty insane, too. But anyway, she pays out that much, right? And... The best job that she got was some kind of like, what was it, like a recruiting job?
Yeah, a recruiting job for a game company, which means she wasn't making games at all. She was just finding other people to make games.
Yeah, and it was like paying like what, like $12 an hour or something?
Something
like that,
relatively low.
So clearly this is dissatisfying to spend $70,000 to make $12 an hour. So, you know, she did what any intelligent girl who has... no other ability to make a lot of money would do, she decided to go stripping, right? And so that's how she makes her money.
So this is the part that I don't understand. What? How is it that a girl who's attractive enough to become a stripper was also interested in making video games?
Good question.
That is the real story here.
I can't answer that question.
Why Game Politics isn't digging deeper into Carrie Ann Howard's background and appearance, just giving me some crappy cartoon logo.
Very good point.
Is unacceptable.
No, there's actually...
Investigative reporting goes deeper than this... crappy fluff article about, you know, tuition and cheating and lying in for-profit schools. I need pictures.
I understand. I understand how you feel that you have not been supplied the pictures to go along with the female for this article.
I will Google image search her when I get home.
Now, this got me thinking about a problem. There's been another problem that's related to this very closely.
Did we point out the scandal yet? Are we going to even discuss the scandal?
Well, I have another scandal in mind, but what's
Well, I'll
what's
just really
scandal?
Quick cover it. The article talks about how the whole idea is that the schools are scams.
Right.
Right. You go to them and they don't really tell you how much it's going to cost and what the rules of the game are, basically. And,
right.
And then when the agencies went in to investigate them, they found that they were being lied to or misled.
Yes. Now, this seems to be endemic of vocational and / for-profit schools in general, not just video game related ones. It's all kind, right?
I'll tell you it's endemic of for-profit ventures, period.
Probably, right? But I mean, there's all kinds of these schools, right? Like Culinary Institute, right? Like learn how to be a nurse, learn how to, you know, be a mechanic, all these kinds of vocational schools, right? Here's the problem. Just recently, actually, the Government Accounting Office, the GAO is my favorite branch of the government. You know why?
I don't even know what the GAO is.
The GAO, if they don't do accounting there, what they do is Well, they kind of do, right?
The Government Accountability Office?
Basically, right? So they actually go and they look at how the government is spending money and they say, hey, is there anything fishy going on with this, right? And that's why I love them. And so what they did was they actually did an expose where they went to apply to these types of schools and they talked with, like, I don't know, like the recruiter or the counselor or whatever, right? And they found out that more and more frequently what's happening is that the people who are, you know, basically the gatekeepers to let the students into the school are using tactics like they won't tell you, like, if you apply for a loan, they won't tell you how much tuition costs, first of all, right? They'll be vague about that. They won't give you a nice idea of, like, you know, your overall college expense. They'll even do, like, strong-arm tactics. Like, there's this one video that you can find on the internet where they're actually the person working for the school basically gave the person a lecture for wanting to know how much the tuition was. And she's like, I don't think you're ready for this. I don't think, you know, this is about you. You know, I don't think you're really committed to this. You know, she rips up the application in front of his face, right? Like strong arm salesman tactics, right?
That's
not
nice.
Only that, there's Pell Grants, right? This is a grant that the government gives to certain people who qualify money to go to school. And apparently a lot of these people at these schools are encouraging people who apply for Pell Grants to basically misrepresent, like, how many kids they have, how much money they have or don't have in order to get more money. And apparently there's around, like, it's astonishing, around 80%, more than 80% of the money that these schools rake in are from Pell Grants or other government grants.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
So GAO's pissed.
Actually, that's a lot of money.
And you know what? Caveat emptor, right? I mean, you got to be careful. You know, if you're going for a school, it's like, you know what? It's only on you at the end.
Yeah.
Don't depend on the school for nothing.
You got to try. And that's true of any degree you go after, right?
And honestly, if I hear that it costs you $70,000 to go to school, hey, just do it yourself, man. Learn on your own.
You know, that's another option. Yeah, I'm going to try to see if we can get someone who used to be a recruiter actually in here to talk to us. We'll see what that's like.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, end of the show. Everybody, thank you for listening. We'll be back next week. Don't forget to go to Golgatron.com and ChatterboxGameShow.com.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.